Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to It's About Time with your host, Master Timekeeper Wanik Shabazz. Join Wanik here every Sunday at 5 p.m. on the Jewel Network, hosted on thejewelnetwork.net.
What happens to time when time's up? Time tells all things traveling. Yeah. From rappling, from atoms to galaxies, all things are gathering. When the chips all fall down, what's going to matter then?
You.
What happens to time when time's up?
What?
Time tells all things traveling.
Yeah.
From rappling, from atoms to galaxies, all things are gathering. When the chips all fall down, what's going to matter then?
True.
Born captive in this land of dairy and honey, where they can drunk off religion and think time is money. Africans always been here, set up for annihilation, the man you ought to be scared. I track time like the Incas and Mayans, trying to reenact the time when the earth was still thriving. Didn't need cleansing, man and woman remembering, respect nature, no compromising for the paper. Your calendar wrong, man, no wonder you late. Change the 200, it's 6248, no wonder you can't relate. You need a paradigm shift, crackers buying time cause they want to exist. Forever I'll resist these times of Babylon. Strengthen the youth, who top and city lives on to the next dimension. Time was never contingent, or how we track it, or how we choose to spend it.
Yeah, what happens to time when time's up? Time tells all things traveling, unraveling from atoms to galaxies, all things are gathering. When the chips all fall down, what's going to matter then?
To you,
what happens to time when time's up? Time tells all things traveling, unraveling from atoms to galaxies, all things are gathering. When the chips all fall down, what's going to matter then?
The truth.
Time is our currency, to be spent, traded, and accumulated. Hated in the AM en route to the plantation, counting down to the next vacation as the clock is punched. Move slow on Fridays and quick at lunch. That's relativity. Time can play both the warden and the prisoner. Keeper of the rhythm stern in the gumbo of this rough free flow. Yet trapped in the bars of the beat. Oh, we know how to bend it, transcend it and expand its relevance. Periodically table its elements and sentence it to forever battle the pyramids. Deja vu it like Denzel did. Invoke Jehudi and Osars to condescend it. Then witness them split it up like two co-defendants. Black time bandits, overstanding.
What happens to time when time's up? Time tells all things traveling, unraveling from atoms to galaxies, all things are gathering. When the chips all fall down, what's going to matter then?
To you.
What happens to time when time's up? Time tells all things traveling, unraveling from atoms to galaxies, all things are gathering. When the chips all fall down, what's going to matter then?
The truth.
It's like a shotgun straight to the head, awaken your mind and resurrect the ungrateful dead. Escape the dread, heading to a spiritual grave, lyrically blazed, uplift and spiritually saved. Man from self like a miracle king, from the heavens above with wisdom, just to hear him complain. Talking about time is money, yes the time spent on chasing it, but our mind is funny. Nothing really to laugh at, the way we blast cats with cash trading. The true light for the lime like dummies. See, time will concede to enemies to relieve you.
What?
Put you out your source of misery and release you.
What?
And to the old earth that conceives you, pollute the air that you breathe with evil. I don't have to remind time is running out, but I ain't say to resort to life behind crime and gunning out. Truth will resurrect these righteous seeds for light to bleed. New dawn every time the sun is out.
What happens to time when time's up? Time tells all things traveling, unraveling from atoms to galaxies, all things are gathering. When the chips all fall down, what's going to matter then?
To you.
What happens to time when time's up? Time tells all things traveling,
yeah.
Unraveling from atoms to galaxies, all things are gathering. When the chips all fall down, what's going to matter then?
The truth.
Time running constant, nothing wrong with tracking it by sundial or flooding of denial. The concept of time is deeply rooted in our hearts and DNA, still dormant today. I wonder when the time will come for revelation. Time is now for spiritual elevation. You got time on your cell phone, time on your wrist, time to make beats, time to write hits, time to go to work, time to go to school. At times you keep your cool, sometimes you act a fool. No time like now to reinforce, take action, reclaim hours in a timely fashion. Time's mathematics, that's how we manage to track it. Sound barrier, that's how we manage to crack it. Poem hack it, and that's a perfect time marker. Way before yours, when all earthlings were darker, when everything in balance, or should I say my yacht. In 2012, you'd think time will stop.
What happens in time when time's up? Time tells all things traveling.
What?
Unraveling from atoms to galaxies, all things are gathering. When the chips all fall down, what's gonna matter then?
To you.
What happens in time when time's up? Time tells all things traveling. Unraveling from atoms to galaxies, all things are gathering. When the chips all fall down, what's gonna matter then?
The truth.
6248, another drought. Just a few years left and the clock is running out. Running about all around the clock, like the big and the little hand. And your time is like the middleman of everything. Between the start and the end of a more peaceful time and space and place. Life and death awaits, better guard your gate. Heaven is in the mind, why we starve for grace? Minority labor, but the harvest great. From inside the mind, aura hard to break. Soul is granite, never take my soul for granted. And that's word to everything that controls this planet. Time
word
to reap what you sown and planted. With interest, politics, time for overstanding. That's word to the double edge, grazing my tongue.
Now time will burn out, just like the rays of the sun.
Time. For your seller, you're rented by the dime.
Rented
but
by the dime.
To you free after
nine.
They like savings lines. For a century sold in the ultimate
crime.
The sun don't rise or set, y'all, they lying.
Lying.
I said the sun don't rise or set. The sun does not rise or set, they are lying. The sun is right where it's been all the damn time. And we try to clock it with seasons and signs, giving it reason and rhyme. Same thing with time. The only thing actually moving is our minds. Through our thoughts, we pass time. Give me a second.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
I got you.
Riddle me this. If I lapped you like the long hand at 2:30,
right?
And if recorded time was actually true, would we still need to fall back an hour or spring forward at 2?
Good point.
So what year is it exactly? What year is it to you? Ask the Chinaman, ask the Hindu, ask the Jew. You can bet to one of them three it ain't millennium number 2.
Sure not.
And ain't one of them aforementioned even half as old as you, African. Not half. That's a fraction. Represented with a 1 over a 2.
The one is you.
What happens to time when time's up? Time tells all things traveling, unraveling from atoms to galaxies, all things are gathering. When the chips all fall down, what's going to matter then to you? What happens to time when time's up? Time tells all things traveling, unraveling from atoms to galaxies, all things are gathering. When the chips all fall down, what's going to matter then to truth?
Hotep is in my cash, my brothers and sisters. I am one of the Kibi Tehuti Shabazz. I am your white galactic world vision. Coming from the dream spell calendar, understanding the importance of moving into a new dimension, and we know it is the end of a cycle. And because of the end of the cycle, we have to go into some deep research to find out what is the cycle that we are ending. And we are CP Time Network. What we are intending to do is to return ourselves back to the natural order of life, natural phenomena of what we know to be cycles. Those cycles among cycles is how we gauge ourselves and how we navigate and become that which is called time travelers. We're lost now because we have been following the incorrect gauge of time. The incorrect gauge of time has been the Gregorian calendar, known now to be the 12-month calendar and the 60-minute clock. The reason why we say that is the 12th gauge of time is because it has no harmony or no sense. Chronometer that allows us to be able to tap into what nature is asking us to do, it is merely a gadget of industry. We are moving back into nature so we can reclaim our indigenous rights and our indigenous positions so we can become more acclimated to be in harmony with nature. We started out because we wanted to make sure that we reminded everyone that there's an influence that we find ourselves engaged in. It does not provide us the opportunity to try and find a way to navigate the body we have. Our harmony is based on our capacity to know nature is calling us. And because we see all these different ecological problems that we're having these oil spills, we're having wars, we're having all these industries collapsing because they no longer can sustain themselves. We are now looking at how we're going to get back into a space where we can maintain our residency on this planet we call Gaia, or more affectionately known as Earth. So in that we're doing that, we ask that you prepare yourself to go with us on this journey. This journey is going to take us into many dimensions of learning how to time travel, how to navigate, how to understand who you are in direct proportion to Earth and to the cosmos as a cosmic being. We are cosmic people. We are here to navigate the galaxy to come to our fullness, and we are pleased to be more enlightened to bring you and to teach you how to become very in tune with yourself so you can now become a time traveler. Join us. Come with us, and we'll show you how a dream spell can undo the power of ignorance into nothing but strong information and enlightenment. Hotel. Our first point of entry is to discuss exactly what is the perpetual 13-moon calendar. When we speak about 13 moons, we sometimes can become so cosmic about it, or think of the cosmos, where we don't see it in the succession of days or in a linear fashion. In the case of the perpetual 13-moon calendar, we know that it takes in an approximate 28 days to get to each completion or a complete cycle of what the moon does going around the planet. The moon goes around the planet 13 times in 27 days and odd, some odd hours to get to the point of 28 days. The perpetual moon calendar starts out when we talk about in terms of the dream spell is there are 13 different characteristics that this moon invokes. The energy of these moons are very much influential on those of us who are on the planet. The first moon is magnetic, the first moon that brings in the power of initiation, the power of creation, the power of purpose. The second moon is lunar. It is the challenge moon. When we first have purpose, we come into existence, then we have to find out what the challenge is for us to be able to manifest that purpose or to enact that purpose. So we find the second moon being lunar. The third moon being electric gives us the spark, you know, the in a sense of how to put it into service, how to put it into a factor of more life force so we can be able to see the germination of life forms. The fourth moon is self-existing, giving us now the independence of form to allow us to now see us becoming that which be. That's what will be a navigational tool as a physical body. The fifth moon is overtone. That is where we get to rest, determine what it is going to be, our levels of power to understand exactly what that tower represents relative to the three chambers we just came through. So we can commence to the next three chambers, which of course will be the sixth moon. The sixth moon is that of the rhythmic moon. The seventh moon is resonant. The eighth moon is galactic. The ninth moon, solar. Tenth moon, planetary. The 11th moon, spectral. The 12th moon, crystal. And the 13th moon would be, and the 13th moon, cosmic. What is the dream spell, you may say? Why would you use a term like dream spell? According to Dr. Jose Arguelles, also known as Balloon Botan, a dream spell is any agreed-upon belief system that creates a continuing state of consciousness. The importance of understanding why that is essential to this discussion and learning how to time travel, because we are at the end of a history, of a dream spell history. And that end, as we know most popular, as 2012. The time frame of which we are working through is that long count, as they call it in the Zoikin, or that is which we talk about, the 5,182 years time frame. So we are now at the end of the dream spell history, and at the beginning of dream spell of galactic culture. This means that we are coming to the end of the belief in the male-dominant warrior-hero fear and separation paradigm. And we well know that a lot of what we have accepted in this particular historical context, and as we know, as we say history, we utilize the words and say his story, because it is significantly very much talking about that which is the male dominant warrior hero, man is king type vibe. So what do we do as we come into that? We actually know that we are preparing to move into the love-based, honest, hero paradigm of natural time. All we have to do is change our view of time and open ourselves to the love that is inherent in us all. When you hear the terms inherent, from history to inherent, well, obviously inherent gives us back to what? The feminine principle. That which is most essential in terms of what we know creation formulates in. The germination of life has to come from her. So it's in her as an entity, or inherent. And that means that once we understand that she's the entity, we can move back into the appreciation of what life represents, because she is, in fact, as it shows you the perpetual 13 moon calendar, you now see how that goes back into why she is so important, because that is right in line with her as a template, as the example of a 13 moon 28 day process. So essentially we're looking at 13 moons of ancestral prophecy. According to a specific ancestral prophecy based on the ancient Kemetic calendar of Tehuti, the exact mathematical science of the Olmec and Maya, the 19th code of the Holy Quran and the Holy Bible, this is the seasoning of the awakening of the cosmic people to the ancestrally ordained blueprint of attaining full light body freedom beyond the bondage of third-dimensional false time and space. So the number 13, a change for the better. Although the number 13 is given the connotation of being unlucky, it's really not. Perhaps the reason for this belief has to do with ancient symbology. Long ago, when people used picture symbols, the 13 was thought to represent death. They knew it was a picture on the tarot card, labeled death, showing a skeleton with a scythe in his hand, cutting off human heads. In the late Middle Ages, people interpreted this to mean physical death, not realizing, symbolically, it meant death to an old way of life and way of thinking. A change for the better. The ancient described 13 as a symbol of power, which is wrongly used, wreaks destruction upon itself. It was said that he who understands the number 13 will be given power and dominion. We understand there's a science to everything that we know to be living and actualizing itself in mathematical equations. When we understand the power of 13, the number 13, as we know in this society, is always making sure that you don't understand the mysticism, the mythical understanding of the number 13. How significant it is? Well, how about 12 disciples, one Christ, 13? How about when we look at all the sciences that look at the number 13 from a vantage point of being unlucky, and then there's a science that says that there is a power, because the 13 in the Arabic language or Arabic alphabet is the number 13 as M. M is the master, as we know. So there's a significance to it when we understand the symbolism when we talk about the American dollar. Well, on the back of that dollar, you have different many variations of 13 symbols on the back of the American currency, that which controls and rules capitalism. Capitalism is about what? Money. Time is money. Very significant to this society, very, very impactful in allowing us to continue to be enslaved to the matrix. Well, let's look at the sun and how the sun in its dominance makes itself so significant to the solar system in which we live. Well, Urban, the telepathic order of the 13th tribe, the goal to regain our lost powers, to live a purposeful existence beyond the boundaries of third-dimensional materialism and false time, living from within the center of the soul's nature, which is, of course, the solar plexus. That's the center of which our being, our physiological center is, in fact, our solar plexus. Why is it called a solar plexus? Because, obviously, it is very significant to the sun. As this center is the planetary center, center of the Milky Way, center of galactic communion, and a black hole of harmony and frequency, tone and vibration. Well, peace and love. The spiral of the galaxy mirrored in the spiral of the human DNA, as within, so without. As above, so below. Within the oneness of all earthly truths is found the universal glory and truth of heaven's triple blackness, or as very more commonly known, triple darkness. Love, honor, integrity, trust, humility, courage, one God, one aim, one destiny, one people, one body, living in telepathic synchrony without choice. So what is that to say? And when we talk about living by choice or without choice, when we're living in synchronic order, then our lives begin to now recalibrate itself, or if you will, restructure itself for balance in harmony. And we are on our way to that, to the degree that we want to rid ourselves of all the things that create all kinds of competitive, adversarial interaction with each other, or others that may, again, be antagonistic to our lifestyle or our livelihood. So we talk about our physical body. I said earlier about the physiological makeup and what we represent. Well, our physical body is the same as the stars. You know, we have the same, if you will, content, you know, as we look out and so within. And it's essential to understand what that means when we are finding that correlation. We call it sometimes a human holon, the connection between the above and the below. Obviously, it's all one, because there is no such thing. It's even an illusion to say there's an above and there's a below, but everything is all in synchronic order, depending on how you're visualizing the structure. When we talk about third-dimensional structures, then they give us a below, a bottom, a top, you know, and we have to be able to see that with a larger perspective. But we are, in fact, the same as the stars. So we are made of the exact same substance as the stars, same matter, same vibration, same tone, same frequencies, and the same natural intelligence. Pakal Bhutan, the mind prophet Pakal Bhutan, ruled for 52 years. He refers to himself as time's special witness. His love, wisdom, and devotion is largely responsible for the great contributions of science and art from Mayan antiquity. The timeless knowledge perfectly preserved in his tomb utilizes the same signs contained within the calendar of Tehuti of ancient Kemet. Pakal Bhutan was very significant in that he actually, as he talked about being prophetic, or as he even to himself identified himself as time's special witness, only determines that he actually, when we talk about the ancient Kemet or Tehuti, it was given homage to the original purveyors of time, those which were his ancestors, or if you will, his elders, if you want to go even more closer to the vibration, his parents, the Olmec civilizations. The Olmec civilizations actually gave form and life to all what we now know to be time, and had their own system of calculation for what it is to be have calendars, and I imagine the illusion that came up with the Maya was to shift this consciousness until we have to return to remind people, so we can let all those who are detractors not know that we have returned, and we return not in the purpose persons of the Maya, but as the original heads of civilization, the Olmec Empire. So this science was known to the ancients. This same science was and is found amongst the ancient Sumerians, the Tibetans, Ethiopians, Hopi, Incas, Aztecs, Aborigines, and the Khmer people of Angkor Wat in Southwest Asia. And of course, as we just stated, the Olmec Empire. Natural time is a real aspect of existence that is readily observable to those who pay attention. It is found within the cycles of nature. The cycles of natural time continue to turn endlessly. All we have to do is tune into the cycles and flow with them. The natural cycles of time are the day, The Earth revolves around on its axis to create a day and night. The moon revolves around the Earth through its cyclical phases. The mean moon period is 28 days. The year. The Earth revolves around the sun in 365 days at a terrific speed of 1,137.3 miles per hour. When you divide the year up by moons, you get 13 moons of 28 days each, plus one extra day. Each moon is 4 perfect weeks. Each year is 52 perfect weeks. Every moon and every year begins on the same day of the week. These are the cycles that govern the physical aspects of time. The natural cycles of time, well, we continue and we understand how we call it a day or D-Day or two-day. Well, the Earth revolves around on its axis to create day and night. The moon revolves around the Earth through its cyclical phases. The mean moon period is 28 days, meaning that there are 28 perfect days in a full, complete moon cycle. The moon governs the basic physical aspects of the calendar. Since there are 13 moons per year, the moons take up, actually take on the aspect of the galactic tones. Those tones that I spoke to you earlier was the magnetic tone, the lunar tone, the electric tone, and so forth. So, this means for a full 28 days, we experience the energy of each of the 13 tones. And if we understand what that means for us to be able to experience that, we have to see exactly what we are in. Acclimated or calibrated to do what we are doing within the time frames of our existence, on our day-to-day or night-to-day activity, and we begin to see how we are resonating, vibrating. Sometimes we're vibrating on a very low tonation that allows for us to become sick or diseased or discomforted, and then there are times when we are operating on a higher frequency. That higher frequency allows us to flow through our day with the ease of comfort. And before you know it, we're at ease and we're at rest, and then we are again commencing another day. So, the Olmec Mayan 13 moon calendar have cosmic gears use perfectly synchronized immense cogwheels based on planets and star systems to measure the passage of matter through space to calculate time. Well, the Olmec Mayan calendar is very much like the workings of a watch or a clock. The two-dimensional gears of a watch create linear time, and it is there, or if you say here, where the similarities end. Similarities end because simply when we talk about cyclic time, there is no gears to somewhat activate a 12-hour gadget that is ticking to measure your moments in space, which is, of course, why it is virtually impossible to measure space through such a gadget, because there's no way that you can synchronize that with the rapid movement of the Earth, the Sun, and the Moon in its continual ongoing interaction and connection. So thereby, it takes us away from natural affinities because it allows us to now structure around what they call a machine. The machine is programmed by what? The mind. So therefore, if it's a construct of the mind, that means that it also can be limited to which mind created it. So we move into a level of natural time when we understand that we don't have any hindrances when we talk about earth or wind, air, fire, because those are the natural dynamics that force the natural time. The big difference is our universe is not flat, two-dimensional gears, as in the watch. Our universe is filled with variously sized spinning circles orbiting together as a complete whole, creating experience, time, space, and physical reality. The planets stars and galaxies are spherical and work together in three-dimensional forms. So the cycles of time, unlike the illusory time created by a mechanical watch, our universe creates time that is cycling or unending. Cycles of time conditionally or continually circumnavigate in a repeating ascending spiral. It is simple to begin to understand Mayan time by remembering the cycles of time, space, out of the Maya, as spherical, not a flat two-dimensional illusion of cosmic time. So what we have briefly shared with you, it's a little introduction to what we know to be the dynamics of natural time, or understanding what it is to get into back into a natural cycle of life. And I know that that can be very challenging for us who have lived a robotic, linear, very programmed life of biosurvival. And when we understand that we have tools that can take us back into what we know to be connected or reacclimated to our natural selves, back in tune with everything else, in harmony with everything in the nature, then we begin to see it. And, you know, I give you an example. So you have these toys, these gadgets, of course, that man has made, and one being a big one, which is now known to be a car, a motor vehicle. And it is like allowing us to travel from space to space, because now you got all this concrete, you have tar, you have, you know, these roads you have to go to get to another space. And, of course, it has helped tremendously in getting to a space in such rapid, frames. Yet, when things go wrong or you have a challenge or it's not, you know, working and some technical aspects of it fail, like the battery or things like that, you begin to see how inhibited you are in that you still are so relying on it to get to one space to the other because you have this time constraint, this time frame. So this morning, I'm getting in to a vehicle that I'm driving, and the vehicle would not start. And this is bright early morning. Now, in the interim of this bright early morning, you know you have nature doing what she does. You hear the birds chirping, flying from tree to tree. And I'm sitting there, and I'm wondering, and I chuckle. I said, you know, the birds don't have a problem with battery starting. They don't have a problem with getting from one space to the other. They're simply traveling at their own leisure. And don't even have to worry about whether or not their car will start. Now, what does that say to us if nothing else? What does that allow us to get a better understanding of where we are and how far we have come? From beings of natural flow to beings that are now having to go someplace to get someplace in a certain period of time. And if you don't get there, then you miss your appointment and you become late, you know. And I just really looked at it from a standpoint of saying there's something about industry and technology that we take for granted, and also that we also give too much credit to and too much power. And the birds this morning chirping and singing while I was out there hoping I can get a boost, you know, it was very interesting to experience, and still having their life move in natural forms and natural cycles. So significant and very synchronistic. So that's a brief introduction into natural time, as we first get acquainted with the terms, the different ways that we identify, the names, you know, of moons. You know, this is something totally different because we've been somewhat far removed from the galaxy that we all just look at it as being the moon and the sun setting. But there's more significance to it. There's an energy. There's, you know, our ancestors, the ancient indigenous people, the Olmecs, the Mayas, they had a science to understand the vibrations that was happening from moon to moon when the moon cycled around. It became a different characteristic. And it also showed us that it was still consistent and there was nothing that was going to stop it. Nothing could get in the way of it. Nothing could prevent it from making it happen because that is what it is consistent. It is reliable. That's what natural time is, being able to tap into the reliance and the reliability of nature. This shows you the synchronicity of life and how we have become so, in a sense, addicted to having the conveniences of modernity and technology. But when it fails, when it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And that means that we could, because we have these deadlines, as opposed to life cycles or lifelines, Sure, birds don't live on no deadline. They know that once they wake up, in order for them to go somewhere, all they got to do is fly from the next tree or to whatever destination they need to go to, and their body takes them there. We have to return to how we time travel beyond technology, beyond the vehicle, beyond cars, and beyond the reliance upon that which is not reliable, and that is the false industrial complex, the Matrix. So we learned how the 13 moon calendar pretty much works. It seems that it's really less complicated. It's really simple. It works in succession. It's consistent. It's 365 days. One free day makes it 364 days. And there's a day out of time. And it's consistent. It's 7 days of 4 weeks of 7 days, which is 28 days. 28 days by 52 weeks, giving us 364 days plus that one free day. That's simple. That's consistent. Easy math, right? You don't have to worry about it fluctuating. Now, the question is, where are we? What are we navigating? What are we utilizing for accessing or actualizing time? What is that? Well, that is the Gregorian calendar and how that calendar affects reality. And then you'll see why we need to change. The Gregorian calendar has units of measure that corresponds to no natural cycles. It is an irregular order. Its month length vary anywhere from 28 to 31 days. When you run your life according to the Gregorian calendar and mechanical clock, without questioning where they came from and why you use them, then you are running on an unconscious program. What the calendar does to the mind is so profound that to fully come to terms with it is to re-envision the very foundation of human life and thought. Keep in mind, a calendar is a programming device, one of the enduring signs of human culture. As a programming device, the calendar is the major instrument giving the society that uses it its look and feel. So in our introductory, we learned about the simplicity and the synchronicity of the perfect 364-day cosmic navigational dream spell calendar. Well, how do we time travel with this? We time travel with the opportunity to realize that it's perfect, what, a perfect 7 days, perfect 4 weeks, 28 days. Do that by 52 weeks, you get 364 days plus one free day, which is a day that we term the day out of time, which gives us an opportunity to regroup for a new cycle, a new perfect 13 moon cycle of what? 28 days, 13 moons. So when we come back and understand that we are still locked into a prism or prison of what? This oriented navigational handicap. And I say that because we are flowing within the context of something that cannot give us consistency or continuity to the degree that is really bringing us to the fullness of what we are traveling to do, that is to accomplish. The programs are two in question, two macro and one micro. Well, one macro, one micro. The macro is the calendar, which runs, you know, from anywhere from January to December. And then there's the micro, which is the clock, which runs from 12 to 12. These are the two programming devices. The time that you look at on your watch and clock, and the date that you read in what they call a calendar or a map of sorts. Those two things are the time and date, which keeps you in what they call intimidation. Constantly being what? Feeling feeling hindered and inhibited from moving into a structure where you can claim your own time. So, living in the Western culture, the Western society, what is the look and feel? Christmas, Thanksgiving, 4th of July, blah, 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 the Columbus Day. These are the structures of your calendar. And then throw in a couple of birthdays that you think that you're contributing to yourself or attributing to yourself. then you find yourself wrapped up into this cycle of a program that does not give you full reign of your life, autonomy of your life, or even independence of your life, because you're locked into this structure and this program. And the program is very well based on industry and, of course, the axiom, time is money. History is the script by those who hold the power. Following the Gregorian calendar, following the Roman Gregorian, or if you want to call it the Julian calendar, you are really truly still under the yoke, the Vatican's yoke. Because that yoke, I want to say it's a joke, but it also is very much responsible for governing the way you think and the way you operate and the way you actualize things in your life. The way you even put yourself in a position where you're now looking at it as being some kind of gauge. If you look at it and you look at the dynamic of what it represents, you'll see that it was designed more than 2,000 years ago. Julius Caesar designed it as a Julian calendar to gain more power. In 1582, Pope Gregory the 13th, mind you, keep that in mind, the 13th, reformed it and made that Julian calendar to give conquered indigenous people a new time. So from Julius to Gregory, this is a in cahoots conspiracy to move into the mind control and how to, in a sense, capture the life force, the resources, the assets of the indigenous people. And in order to do that, it's like an ingenious plot, because once we understand that we can talk about these things, and you hear many scholars who are wonderful in their work and their research, constantly looking at, you know, different political, economic, and social issues, never do you ever question how this system of exploitation and oppression, system of deprivation, holds itself together. And how it does that is through the Gregorian calendar. That's where the secret is. That's where it is magical for them to dominate a whole world. Very influential globally. The Vatican, the smallest state on the planet, wielding the most power, and usually overlooked as being the seat of Babylon. The root of an artificial system. So there has to be, you know, and whenever there's a growth of something that is standing strong and tall, and something that has, you know, very much been stabilized and structured to the degree that it is formed in its richness and in its success, is based on its root, you know, because obviously you can't plant anything that doesn't have roots. That the roots doesn't stand strong, you can't get a shoot up, and you can't get any longevity or any harvest. The root of an artificial system is very significant in what we're talking about relative to the Gregorian calendar. At present, the belief system of the 1260, now when I say 1260, you're talking about 12 hours, 60 minutes, that's your clock, mental field has created an artificial yet totally illusory mental shield around the planet. Can you imagine? It's like a shield, as I said earlier, of Gregorian proportions. You know, the whole Gregorian calendar has a shield around the planet, where everybody, no matter where they are, is influenced by this calendar, even if they claim to be indigenous or claim to be Islamic. Everyone still functions on this calendar in one way or the other, or looks to this calendar as a gauge for the monetary system, because the monetary system is what keeps and holds this together. The rigidity of this belief system is that all that keeps humanity not only from receiving the enormous benefits of its presence. The 1260 planetary mental shield is sustained by an artificial feedback loop, which is a self-reinforcing system. At the root of this artificial 1260 system is the belief that time is linear. To accept this belief is to surrender one's free will. For this belief that time is linear consigns the believer into a mental trap. Every day have September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31, except for February alone, which has 28 days clear and 29 in each leap year. So goes the folk rhyme, underscoring the illogical nature of the Gregorian calendar.
By contrast, a far easier and more logical way to divide the solar year would be by 13 moon 28-day months with one extra free day. What is called global society is a consensus reality driven by unconscious, irregular, artificial timing frequency called 1260. 12 refers to the 12-month Gregorian Babylonian calendar. 60 refers to the 60-minute hour of the mechanical clock. Both the 12-month calendar and the mechanical clock have their origin in the Babylonian substitution of the 12-part division of a circle in space for measurements of fourth-dimensional cycles of time. The 1260 era was institutionalized into the fabric of human civilization. As a result, the human race is today living an era in time. Where does clock time come from? Well, good question. It is nothing but a toy. Where it derived from, when the clock was first created, it was nothing but a toy. But then it was developed by some monks to amuse themselves and to wake up for early morning prayer. So, well, we understand that we are living in a false time continuum. We recognize that the reason why time is the way it is and time is actualizing the way it is and the way we tell time is because it's governed by the principle time is money. We know that people decided to take it seriously and run their lives by a machine toy, and they are still doing it. They're still running their life by a machine toy, something that does not have any significance to nature. Has nothing to do with you. You're far removed from you. You're in these buildings of granite and concrete and glass. You're having these discussions by destroying nature. You have to. In order to have all the paperwork, we have to do all the trees. We have to, destroy just to make all the files that we have in these file cabinets and all the paper that we use to copy things. And so we're in a situation. We're in a place where we actually are in a perpetual era in time, and we're not, in any way evolving. There's not an evolution of sorts. It's a devolution, I'd like to say, because obviously people are living their lives thinking that they could somewhat create a biosurvival structure that can sustain them, and very much as we well know that living a life on false time, living a life on clocks and calendars, time is money axiom, is not sustainable, very unstable, and eventually would have to have an end. So it becomes more like a mental disease or a dis-ease, because we're very discomforted by it. We're really challenging ourselves to see how we can constantly be in a competitive adversarial world. And that competitive adversarial world is what we now see to be this construct, this whole mental construct. And the mental disease manifests in the order of reality as it is known today, one governed by the principle, again, time is money, the inescapable power of this 1260 order of reality is referred to as Atlantis Corporation. Atlantis, why? Because the very name conjures an amnesiac grandeur. And corporation, because of the tendency to incorporate everything into a material form that can be exchanged for and or be valued by money. This is the essence of the 1260 mental disease, a genuine memory virus that manifests as the artificial planetary mental shield of global materialism. Well, we know that who owns your time? Clock, click, clock, hit the clock, punch the clock, being valued or paid by the hour. Your value is by the hour. Your level of worth is by the hour. You get paid a certain amount of units per hour for a job that you're providing or a service, which constantly keeps you in this perpetual debt cycle of attempting to maintain the basic necessities of life, food, clothing, and shelter. Whereas we say this is a normalcy, and most everybody, even if we have this conversation, is looking at how we have been somewhat hoodwinked into believing that we have to work for a living, have to do that in order to maintain a certain level. And there's people giving us or those who are corporate managers and corporate giants, if you will, or corporate executives paying you a certain amount that only is a minute point, minute part, or minute value compared to what they're making and what they're having and how much they have somewhat conjured up by having so much material wealth. So whoever owns your time owns your mind. Many of us think of time as chronology or a schedule for keeping accounts or recording holidays, with little comprehension at all of the synchronic nature of the order of time. The ultimate purpose of a calendar is not to keep accounts, but to synchronize. 28-day, 13-moon calendar, that's what we're looking for. What does it mean? How does it help us? How does it allow us to be better engaged and better informed? Well, the measure of the annual human biological rhythm is the 28-day, 13-moon calendar. 28 days is also the average length of the moon's synodic 29.5 days and sidereal 27.3 days cycles. 28 days is the average length of the woman's fertility cycles. Every moon is comprised of 4 weeks of 7 days. The numbers 1 to 28 marking our progression. Several cycles of the dream spell are coordinated by the four directions. This includes the 4 weeks of each moon. The four directions, the 4 weeks of each moon, we got the crown, root, third eye, second, throat, solar plex, heart. That's the first week. First week is Dali, second week is Seti, third week is Gamma, fourth week is Kali, Alpha, Lemi, and Celio in succession. So, within Dali, this keeps following me because we can be able to understand the correlation. So each day you know what to focus on in meditation. You understand how to focus on what's going on within the energy of the day, and you can be able to tap into the global or cosmic or the galactic frequency of what is being influenced or what is being synchronized on that particular day. So we start out with Dali. Dali is our first day. We want to get these synchronizations because these are plasmas. We're going to get into these new forms of how we see our 7-day week, if you will, 7 days strong. Right? But it's strong if we understand the levels of connection to it from the standpoint of our chakra system. It is weak if we're still dealing with Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and allows us to not function biologically or sustain ourselves biologically because it doesn't give us any infusion. It only gives us confusion. So, the days are Dali, Seti, Gamma, Kali, Alpha, Lemi, Celio. These are 7 plasmas. We'll learn more about the plasmas as we go a little further, but it also gives us an understanding of how we can see ourselves through the chakra system. Crown, root, third eye, second chakra, throat chakra, solar plexus, and the heart. These chakras which fuel our complete being. This is what gives us our energy force field and our energy vector as a physiological navigational structure. Clearly, you can be able to see those correlations to Dali all the way to Celia or Dali, Seti, Gamma, Dali, Seti, Gamma, Kali, Alpha, Lemi, Celio. You'll see that it has a pattern, you know, it has a flow. When we understand it has a flow, then we know that it also goes to the correlating days, so you can be able to be on top. So, I mean, we're not so much in judgment of the days that we don't want to say Monday, we don't want to say Tuesday. We're just saying that we're transitioning, we're moving, we're building ourselves back into a vibration that heals us into a peaceful state. We don't want to have an antagonistic approach to getting back on an alignment, because then we judge. Then our judgment has a tendency to come back on us, fall back on us. So we want to keep that judgment focused. Our focus is to be what healed and revealed, you know, to transform to the highest level who we were and who we are in the deepness of our DNA. This is why the chakras are so essential. It's so important. And you'll see that each day has its connection. So you have the chakras, and then you have the direction. The first weak or the first strong will be red. The second strong will be, well, and this first, if it's red, is also in the eastern direction. We'll learn more about that. Then we have the white energy, the white chromatic. That is northern. Then we have the blue, which is the western direction. And then we have the yellow, which is the southern direction. That's week 4, week 3, week 2, and week 1. East, north, west, south, red, white, blue, yellow. And a perfect 28-day week, as well. So now we see, and we look at the galactic day keepers, the solar seals. These solar seals are the glyphs. These are that which resonates with what we know to be how we used to communicate through what images, the hieroglyphic images of our ancient, indigenous connection to all there is. When we look at images of nature, we see that we know what a tree looks like, what a leaf looks like. We know what, you know, a flower looks like. We know what a bird looks like. We don't have those words to identify these creatures of nature or nature's finest. We just know that it's a visual. It's an artistic visual. It's a beauty that you can look at and you can marvel at, as opposed to defining it through what they call verbiage. So when we understand that, then we have to say, what's the image there? What do images do? How do they affect it? That's why we like art, you know, because we can take the image and we internalize the image as a chemistry. Because the chemistry is that which is used to foster that image, you know, whether it be the ink of a pen or the paint utilized, you know, to help canvas a painting. You know, these are images that are important, and they're very significant in the energy and the vortex of red, white, blue, and yellow. So, the 20 glyphs are symbols of unique living energies, each ripe with wisdom and meaning, a circuit of archetypes. These daykeepers are called the 20 solar seals, or 20 solar tribes. And then you'll see them as you're looking at them. Walk through how all of them have significance. All of them are very significant in terms of how we define time, how we look at time, how we look at images, how we look at the ancient, like, you know, to go back to the pyramids of Giza and back into Kemet, where you see that there's images that are very significant. And then we define those images by what we see, you know, whether it be, you know, the Tehuti, or we see the new moon images. You know, all those are images of our ancient knowing, and they had also told very important stories. That's why in the Metanatera, you'll see there's a lot of ways that we can understand how stories were told and how we communicated through the hieroglyphs, how we communicated through ancient texts. And the writings of that time were not just random nothings. It was more so of a reminder or a historical context of remembering who we are and where we are from and how we are indigenous to the landmass. How all this connects to the body? Well, you'll see, again, we talked about radio plasmas and galactic tones in the body. And if you look at it, you'll see what I just went through in terms of the levels of the plasma, Dali, Gamma, Alpha, Celio, Nemi, Kali, and Seli, and how they flow in terms of the chakras. If you look at it, you know, you'll see how they have significance.
and how they also speak to the galactic tones in the body, and how we get to appreciate those tones by identifying them. So each kin, as we call them kins, there are 260 kins, though the Zoikin, each kin is assigned an ally or ally power that assists in aligning us to the greatest potential outcome of the day's destiny. So every day is a destiny. Every day is loaded with a lot of different vibrations and energies and different significances in that day. And all of them come to make up who you are if you are arriving on that day. Or if you're interacting with that day, you'll see there's a lot of significances in that day or the day's power. So the guiding power is what allows us to understand who we are. So we usually say the guiding power is the spirit, because the spirit is guiding the soul, because the soul and the spirit are really one. They are synchronized together for the navigation of this journey. Very significant for you to remember that this journey is paired up with five different ways of how we interact and connect, and those five ways are the mental, emotional, spiritual, soul, and of course the physical body which we live in. So, kin, again, kin number, kin means day. The numbers, 1 to 260 indicate the unfolding progression of this 260-day Zoikin creational cycle. A perpetual count, the 13 tones and 20 glyphs generate the 260 permutations of the galactic spin. Week cycle, 7 days, the difference between the sacred numbers 13 and 20 is 7. The mystical center of 13 is also 7. Dividing the year up by a period of 7 gives 52 weeks. This is 13 by 4. The powers of the weeks are: week 1 is knowledge, week 2 is humility, week 3 is patience, week 4 is power. The tone of the day. The tone of the day, the 13 tones holistically communicate the qualities of nature, created principles as an ongoing process, also called a wave spell. Cycling progressively, the numbers 1 to 13 are depicted in galactic notation where dot equal 1 and line equal 5. Dot bar code. That's the dot, that is the level of connecting to how to get back into reading in what? Symbols, as opposed to what we now know to be words that can convolute your creative process. 13 tones, the name of each moon. As we just went through earlier, we said it was the first moon's magnetic, which is very significant to tone 1. Purpose, power, and action is unity and attract, and it runs from 726 Gregorian to 822. The second tone is lunar, as it stated, challenge. And what challenge does is polarizes and stabilizes, and it runs from 823 to 919. Every 28 days. Tone 3 is electric, service, activate, and bond. 4 is self-existing, form, define, and measure. The 5th is overtone, radiance, and power, command. The 6th is rhythmic, equality, organized, and balance. The 7th is resonant, attunement, channel, inspire. The 8th is galactic, integrity, harmonizing model. The 9 is solar, intention, pulse, and realize. The 10 is planetary, manifestation, perfect, and produce. The 11th is spectral, liberation, dissolve, and release. The 12th is crystal, cooperation, dedicate, and universalizes. And the 13th is cosmic, presence, endure, transcend. And that's the pattern and the continuity or the continuous
the contingency of how it flows. 1 to 13, magnetic to cosmic. So 13 moons of 28 days, when you divide this year by moons, you get 13 moons of 28 days each, plus one extra free day, always terms are deemed a day out of time, 7/25 or July 25th on your Gregorian calendar. The name of each moon, corresponds to the 13 tones of the wave spell. And it bears repeating and reiterating and impressing upon your mind to get the pattern, and get to how this pattern works in complete, ongoing, cyclic nature, cyclic pattern. 13 moons with 4 perfect weeks, each account for the 52 weeks a year, 13 by 28 equals 364. The 365th day is the day out of time, corresponds to old Gregorian July 25th. The green day out of time, which is our day out of time, which is 7/25, gives us an opportunity to know again there are 7 days in the week, 52 weeks in a year. Every day of the week is the same for each 28-day cycle. The first day of every month is always Dali, which is Sunday according to the Gregorian calendar. The second is Limi, which is Friday of every month, is always the 13th. The 13th of these 28-day cycles equals 364. One day short of 365-day orbit, and the 365th day is independent of the 13 moons. It is called Green Day, a day at a time, also known as the Galactic Freedom Day. So True Freedom Day, the day is no day of the week or month at all, a true freedom day for the forgiveness of debts, and the celebration of time is art and magic. No other calendar comes close in elegance and harmonic simplicity to the 13 moon calendar. That is why it has been the choice calendar in the Annals of Calendar Reform from Benjamin Franklin to July 26th. To find the spiritual, well, July 26th, obviously the reasons why July 26th was chosen and picked to be the target date for the beginning of the dream spell calendar, the 13 moon process, is because it's when the dog star Sirius is brightest in the sky. It's the brightest star in the sky, heliac horizon of the dog star Sirius, which of course comes out of the Malian tribe, Dogons of Mali, who actually were more responsible for navigating and time traveling than any other explorer, and they are very much connected to the Olmec civilizations, and they truly took into what it was to understand the importance of time travel and how the cosmos really truly worked and what was going on within the larger neighborhood of the galaxy. So to find the spiritual aspect of time, we turn to the heavens, which is the brightest star in the sky. It's not a star, but the planet Venus. The cycle of the planet Venus is a 260-day cycle. And Venus, again, is also often equated with feminine energy or love energy or sexual energy. The ancient Maya referred to the 260th day as the Zoican or the sacred calendar. According to them, it is made up of smaller cycles of 13 and 20 days each turning. Together to create a 260-day cycle, this is an ever-repeating cycle. The brightest and natural star in the sky is the star Sirius. From the Earth's perspective, the sun appears to move across the sky against the background of stars. Now, it says from the Earth's perspective, because it seems like the sun is traveling across the sky, and it also seems like we're having a sunset and a sunrise, and that, you know, we have to, you know, gauge the Earth by the sunset and the sunrise. But that's an appearance, because obviously the sun is not moving in such rapid succession, and clearly the Earth is moving in such speed that allows us to experience the sun in this way, and also to to rest from the sun's energy and rays, it turns away from it for a period to return again. When the sun arises with the brightest star Sirius, it begins the cycle of the year. That day corresponds to the July 26th on the current calendar. Therefore, the start of the calendar is linked to a cosmic event. Based on the ancient Mayan Chilean Balam, noted that when Sirius again rises into visibility after being hidden by the sun's light for 70 days, the alignment assures that Earth is bathed in an abundance of stellar light and information. Electrical energy is created on Sirius, influencing Earth and giving our annual journey a deeper connect or a deepened context in phases with the galaxy. So what are we asking, what are we saying, and what are we really truly in the mundanity of? We now are seeing that there must be much more going on than what we are dealing with on our levels of time to survive and maintain our day-to-day lives. Our lives are constantly being thwarted into believing that we have to what? Go to work, buy things, pay bills. And I'm saying to you that, yes, most of us, if not all of us, do that. And the question is, how do we start doing that, and what is going on beyond that? Why is so much still happening? Why is it so much put into seasonal changes, the equinox, the solstice? You know, why are we looking at the fall and the, or autumn? You know, and we find it, and we find ourselves our feelings are described in a more casual way when we have seasonal changes. You know, because that's something that we really know we have no control over. You know, we know that that's something that we have to see as being a very effective to our lives. And our lives are now asking us to be able to say, well, how do we get in sync with that? How do we formulate our energy to sync up with that? So we can feel it fully and continually, and not just, you know, on occasion that, you know, when they say the season is changing, or we feel the season is changing, as opposed to constantly being so tapped into everything going on that you also change and find yourself consciously creating at the same time to continue to maintain your stay here on this planet in the most optimal way, health-wise. So, it's good to know that when we get into the new year, that when the Sirius it rises again, there's a lot of energy happening, a lot of things going on in terms of the energy hitting the Earth, and we are affected by it. Now we know that it happens. Let's, you know, take note and see what happens when we are aware of it and how it affects our lives. In ancient Kemet astronomy, the Sirius was known as the Sothis, or the star of Isis. It represented the divine feminine, aligning with the queen chambers of the Great Pyramid. In the Islamic Quran, Sirius is the only star mentioned. Sirius is the name the Greeks gave these two stars, meaning scorching or burning. The Dogons of West Africa had worshipped the stars for over 5,000 years. They described perfectly the DNA pattern made by the elliptical orbit of the two stars as they rotate around each other. The Dogon believed these stars to be the axis of the universe, and from it all matter and all souls are produced in a great spiral motion. So when we talk about worship in the vernacular of what we just had to use in order to say how the Dogons gave homage to and also revered the cosmos externalized as themselves. So the whole idea of worship in that term and that word is the word ship. So we know that there's something about the navigational vibration of tapping into that which is important. And it's important for us to be able to recognize when we look at the indigenous and how they worship or how they revere or gave homage to the galaxy. It was not in a form of any outside entity that was unseen to them. They knew clearly what it was that they were looking at as being something that was significant to their very being, and that was the whole form of what it is that we were very much tapped into the Creator. We didn't have to pray. We didn't have to do anything that, you know, ritualized our way. We lived it. It was our very nature. We didn't have to say, okay, time to pray, go down. Because, you know, our nature did not warrant us to do that. It was not until the Westerners came, they had to learn how to do this. Because they didn't know what to do. They were very, very ornery, very niggardly, if you will, when it came to understanding the importance of giving homage to the greater cycles of time and life. So we don't want to get this confused too. What we do now in terms of worshiping in our religious sanctuaries versus what was the natural connection to the righteousness of ourselves and who we were and how we understood who we were as gods and goddesses. We didn't have to worship that which we were because we were living it. We were breathing it. It was very, very innate for us. And that's something that we're learning to come back to, and not to say that we're not spiritual, because we are very spiritually inclined, but we're not religiously inclined to the degree that we have to follow something in order to get somewhere. We are actually our own navigational tools. We are navigating, and we're constantly journeying within the context of our telepathic knowing, intuitively connected. And once we learn how to relive or reclaim our natural time, then we understand how to navigate naturally without having to follow anything. Because then the compass becomes yourself because you're compassionate to yourself. So, look at this synchronomena on the page of what has a lot of very animated and artistic beauty. We look at the magnetic moon of purpose. This is the first moon and how it looks in terms of its consistency according to what is the flow for the year in question. And you see all the glyphs and the dot barcode, which is how we connect it to communicating with the cosmos. First moon of purpose, second moon of challenge, and so forth and so forth and so on. So, we want to familiarize ourselves in due time. And how do we do that? Well, we have to be able to know how the pattern works and continue to know the pattern. Dali, Seli, Gamma, Kali, Alpha, Lini, Sili, right? Remember those, right? So once we get those and understand that, we can see the difference and see how life is unfolding in its natural ways. Days 1, 8, 22 and, with Dali, and Dali is the targeting. Dali targets. Then we have days 2, 9, 16, and 23. Sali flows. Days 3, 10, 17, and 24. Gamma pacifies. Days 4, 11, 18, 25, Kali establishes. Days 5, 12, 19, 26, Alpha releases. Days 6, 13, 20, and 27, Lemi purifies. And days 7, 14, 21, 28, Celio discharges. Every moon is exactly the same. Days of the month and days of the week are perfectly harmonized. Every month starts on a Sunday and ends on a Saturday, if you will, on Dali, and ends on Celio. A harmonic standard. Days of the week, Dali, do Celio, or Sunday through Saturday, are loaded with ancient karma. So, they are being replaced by new names which refer to seven radioplasma's electronic building blocks of creation. Each plasma is associated with an action. So what is it saying? Saying that, you know, that the days that we now use and call out and identify as Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are loaded with karma. A lot of karma. A lot of things that with the conquerors and those with the colonizers and the wars and those days, this is where you get those history. History always has nothing but calamity attached to it. It's just a given when you look at world history. So it is stated, you know, and Volum Botan, Jose Alguez has stated, you know, that in history there is no harmony. And in harmony, there is no history. Because when you're in a harmony, you're in the present moment of an event and interacting with it in the most harmonious nature because you're giving it full attention. Even if it may appear to be something that is of negative sense, you're dealing with it only in that moment. So therefore, when you have harmony, there's no history. Because you only feel harmony in the present moment. So, when we talk about plasmas, and we said earlier that the seven plasmas, the way that we're going to now look at how we see the 7 days of the week, or we're going to call it the seven strongs, we have to look at it from the standpoint of the plasma. Because the plasmas are associated with an action, something to do. It gives you motivation, you know, to look at what's happening, what's the characteristics of that day, what's the power of that day, what energy is infusing that day. On daily, we know that the things that are being targeted on the first day, you know, which is how things are targeted. We're targeting, you know, then Sali gives us the opportunity to flow. Gamma pacifies and Kali is releasing, or Kali is establishing, and Alpha is releasing, and Mimi purifies, and Celio discharges. So there's action involved with the days in question. We want to create a 13-moon, 28-day calendar and have a fresh view. So if you look at what we're providing, you have an opportunity to really now begin to create your world in a way that speaks to a developing pattern and structure that can support a sufficient way of returning to yourself, your natural self, and getting out of all the things that distract you from this. So the benefits of a new calendar. Use of the 13-moon calendar will change your perception of the world and thus change the world through your perception. That is because perpetual harmony is coordinated by the synchronic order. Synchronic order is like opening up a new window so that life can be reorganized through us by a higher command. Use of the 13-moon calendar will not only attune you to nature, but also help you see all aspects of your life through a different lens. Follow the 13-moon calendar faithfully for 28 days and note what inner changes occur and what new perceptions about reality spring about. Within 52 weeks, 1 year, of using the 13-moon calendar, you will advance in intelligence and knowing ultimately the stages of telepathic knowing free of artificial contrivances. You will become increasingly conscious about the patterns in your life. And by making conscious the patterns in our life, we can see how a calendar affects our mind. A personal experiment on your own. That personal experiment means that you realize that you have tapped into your galactic signature. You become more attuned to who you are in the bigger scheme of things. And you realize that you have a significance and you have a purpose and you have a direct connect to all things that are happening in the galaxy. Everyone does. The ant, the bee, if you want, the roach, everybody, every species is tapped into the cycle of which it arrives and lives out that through its total journey and cycle on this three-dimensional course. You too have that. And in the consciousness of who we are and what we represent, we have an opportunity to do that through the calendrical flow of the Zoican cycle Each day represents a distinct galactic gateway. So you come into the gateway. You have entered into the gateway. More than just a birthday where you go and you have candles and cake and ice cream and people are born with balloons, you know, which is nice. I guess it's celebratory and ceremonious in that way. It's very much very empty because even though you're excited about that, you always expect to get things. Expect people to reward you with things because you have this tendency to believe that, you know, I was born, so you should be thanking me and you should be celebrating my life. You know, and then your mothers and your fathers and everybody's has, you know, they're excited, and they got candles and they got balloons and everybody's saying it's your birthday, it's big, and they sing a song. And there's nothing significant about that other than the fact that, you know, that day is special and you have nothing else but gifts and then back to your mundane life for the most part. However, if you are tapped into it where you know that you are contributing something, then you give thanks for the day you arrive and give thanks for your gateway. Then you go, you turn it back around and say, okay, my mother, my father, you know, those, you know, provided me the entry, you know, and those also the larger mother and father, the biggest galactic gateway we come through. And that day we arrive has a lot of significances to what we have to do, what are our instructions, what are our marching orders, what is our purpose, and we find that out through the day that we arrive. So that allows you to be able to see that you have some significance, and you also have some purpose, and you have a reason for being. So, as I showed up in the world of the science of the galactic signature of what the white galactic world vision. So I had to live with the fact that my affirmation and purpose when I arrived on that day was I harmonized in order to equalize modeling opportunity. I seal the store of death with the galactic tone of integrity. I am guided by the power of heart. That's how harmonic and significant my life is and what I do to live that life to the maximum. So, your name of your Gregorian or galactic signature, man, from the Gregorian day you arrive, is a name derived from the three spell codes according to its combined tone and tribe energy. Tone is, in my case, is the eighth tone, and the tribe is Kimi, and the tone is galactic. This is the closing of the cycle. This is the end of an era of time. We are moving into a new cycle. The end of the cycle is called, 2012 or December 21st, 2012. And it's ending a long cycle of what is known to be the era in time. The era in time is not just ERA, but it's also ERROR, which means that we are in a false sense of time. We have created a problem for ourselves by allowing ourselves to be hoodwinked by giving these false notions of what time is, and now we're learning to now become more and more acclimated to understand it and be in alignment. We can go to the end of the cycle, create a new cycle, so we can begin to have harmony, peace, and of course, you know, just love for ourselves, so we can move into another dimension of what? Strong structure in this planet. Because this planet is asking for that, and if we don't obey what the planet is asking, we won't be here to do so. However, those of us of Melanin Hue have an opportunity to redo that which we first brought to this planet when we first arrived, and now we're here at the end to show that we will become the first. As the first becomes the last, the last becomes the first. We are one, yet our oneness has been splintered by false time, 1260 Gregorian calendars, Vatican, and now we're coming back home and say, no,
we are truly going to be committed to reclaiming our natural birthright, and that is to be the sun, moon, stars, galaxy, and really truly know that we are the original beings, light beings, energy force fields, and give thanks for the opportunity for us to say that Mother Earth, Mother Gaia, feminine principle, our art principle, we are here to return to our greatness. And you'll see your life will unfold for you. So again, stay tuned to CP Time Network. We have a lot to offer you in terms of this work, a lot to be prepared for you, so you can be able to see exactly what it is, because I'm a time traveler, and to understand the importance of what we're doing. We have many successional sessions that we're going to be sharing, and we want you to tap in to stay closely connected and learn who you are in the equation of everything else. Become a natural time traveler, so you can become more and more embraced in your life, so you can become what is known to be the new cycle of being the new cycle. We thank you for being with us, and we appreciate your presence. Hotel.
Would you like to be smarter? More at peace in your life? Less stressed? Are you searching for a greater spiritual connection? If so, what you need is access to the 90% of your brain that most of us don't even use. All of this and much more can be yours by enrolling in Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program. Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program is a revolutionary program utilizing sacred geometry to connect the logical left and creative right sides of the brain to work with what we call whole brain functionality. Many participants feel effects from day one, and in no time you can enjoy the physiological effects equal to 8 hours of meditation in as little as 15 minutes a day. Act now to start on this life-changing program and become the person you always wanted to be. To learn more and sign up for Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program, please visit our website, www.thejewelnetwork.net. What are you waiting for? Make the move now.
I intend to tell you the story that lay beneath what you see and hear regarding the ancient temples of Tulum and other ancient sites in Mexico and South America. The story that no tour guide will tell you or have told in all the many centuries of the ancient beginnings of the Maya. I will tell you the story of your ancestors who are calling out for you to remember who you are. The purpose is more than to restructure your self-image, but to tap into the powers that lie within your own temple. The story our ancestors tell on the walls of their temples, schools to graduate you from a human being into a divine being with the power of magic flight. This process has come to be known as Mayan cosmology, more accurately stated, giving its universal nature. For the sake of this conversation, we will term galactic cosmology, and we are all galactic beings. I am your galactic world bridger, Juanik Kemi Tehuti Shabazz, here to bridge the worlds of the past and the present, national to the universal, third dimension to the fourth and fifth dimensions. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this galactic journey with all of your bodies awakened and navigating to the frequency of nature and all that exists in harmony as one. Out of sheer ignorance, racism, politics, or greed, this information has been suppressed and hidden by many. The cover-up involves ridiculous stories and excuses to deem this obviously prominent feature of the Western Hemisphere myth, artistic flaw, invalid, and fictitious past conspiracy theories.
It's a real privilege and an honor to be able to make my presentation to you today, because I feel that I am a student. I don't try to portray myself as an expert in anything. I'm not a professional archaeologist. My background, as Uma said, is in journalism. So it's my job to be able to take this vital, important information that's really vital for all of our people and to try to make it accessible and understandable, put it in everyday language, and that's what our magazine is about. What I want to talk to you about today is the lost history of black Americans. And I'm talking not only about the blacks that are here north of the Rio Grande, but through our entire American continents, north and south. It started for me when I traveled through Mexico about 11 years ago. And I went to a place called Tres Zapotes, or the Three Shoes, which is on the Atlantic coast of Mexico. And there I saw, in a museum, this magnificent sculpture of a stone head, 9 feet tall, weighs 40 tons, magnificently done of obviously a black African, portrayed in a kind of a helmet or a crown. I learned that there were about 18 or 19 of these which were found all along the coast of Mexico, and that they were all reliably dated to 1,200 years before Christ. In other words, 3,200 years ago. They belonged to a civilization called the Olmecs. Now, when I saw this great head, I thought, well, this couldn't possibly be a black American, but it looks like it. Then I investigated the others. I saw the others. They also portrayed different black Americans, some with full features, some with thinner ones, different individuals. And yet the archaeologists tell us that no, there was no one over here from either Africa or Europe or Asia before Columbus. That is what I was told when I went to school, and it's what the archaeologists and what the establishment teachers still tell people, that there was no contact between the Americas and the ancient world before Columbus. I found that beyond this collection of these great stone heads that belong to this Olmec civilization, that there was a lot more information which is not getting out to the general public about this previous black civilization. It was a black civilization that was here. Now, to give you an idea when this civilization flourished 3,200 years ago, what was going on in the rest of the world at that time? Well, there was no Europe. There was only part of Greece. Troy was the big powerful city at the time. There was no Rome. Egypt was a great power. There was a power going on in China. But more importantly for our discussion here, there was also a great power here in the Americas. We call it Olmec, the civilization, the first known civilization. It means rubber, and it refers to a great ball which these people used to make for a sacred ball game. The word Olmec is a term which archaeologists use just to identify these people. They don't know what they were called. Now, if it was only those stone heads, figure, well, maybe it's coincidence or something. But about 1920, a Polish anthropologist was doing work in Yucatan, right in Tres Zapotes, and he found the remains of several burials of black people that dated back before Columbus in this very same area. On top of that, throughout the rest of this century, smaller sculpture has been found in the Olmec area, definitely portraying black people and related to this first civilization. Now, when these great black heads were first found in 1862, the Mexican, the European, and the American archaeologists said, well, these were just happened to be slaves who were blown overseas and they made statues of them. But yet the local people there, the native people, referred to those as black kings, sometimes as African kings. Also, if you have a slave, you're not going to create this huge, magnificent monument. It's to someone that's the lowest part of society, you only create giant monuments to your most important people in society. On top of that, all of these great heads that were found were not just laying out in the open. They had been ritually buried with reverence, which means that they probably were great monuments at one time, and that there was a period of mourning, and then they were ritually buried. Sort of you interred the greatness of this person. To give you an idea how magnificent these stone heads are, I should mention one thing before I forget, too. The archaeologists say, oh, no, they don't represent black Americans, black Africans at all. They represent a kind of Indians, but they resemble, as you'll see in the slides here tonight, nothing resembling Native American Indians. On top of that, they are all crafted out of black basalt. They're not, in other words, the basalt was chosen specifically to represent a black person, someone with black skin. They weigh 40 tons, and they were quarried in a mountain area that was 50 miles away, quarried there and sculpted there, beautifully sculpted, and then transported more than 50 miles to the capital of the Olmec civilization. That'd be the same thing today as if you went, say, out to Gainesville, Georgia, found a boulder, crafted it perfectly, and by hand were able to transport it, this 90-ton earth work, all the way to the downtown Atlanta area. So whoever did this, they were obviously a great people with social organization on the same par of their artistic achievement. This is by no means the end for evidence of blacks in the Americas. A mound, a ceremonial mound, was opened in the year 1901 in northern Wisconsin, outside of the Apostle Islands. Now, that's the extreme north part of Wisconsin, right on the Upper Great Lakes. When this mound was opened in 1901, the bones did not look Native American, and the skulls especially did not look Native American. Native Americans, you can tell almost at a glance that they are Native American skulls because the teeth, they meet the upper and lower jaws. They have either no overbite or very little overbite. These jaws had pronounced overbite. So when the archaeologists found these skulls, they began to think, well, who do these people represent? So from that overbite, they investigated the rest of the jaw structure, cheekbone structure, the periantals, this area up here, and unquestionably, they belong to black people. Now, to be interred in a mound was a sign of honor. The average person in the Native American cultures in Wisconsin, when they died, they were usually buried under the floorboards of the house. Went down further and further. You kept the family, literally, in your domicile. Or else, if they were common people, workers and so on, they just buried anonymously in Potter's Field. The mounds were reserved exclusively for regents, kings, shamans, priests, the movers and shakers of society. These four black men that were found in this mound were laid out respectfully with copper goods. Now, there's a key there. What were these ancient blacks doing up in northern Wisconsin more than 1,000 years ago? And why with copper goods? The Upper Great Lakes of our country forms the richest deposits of copper on Earth, among the largest, but more importantly, the richest, the highest grade copper. It appears that these black Africans were in the Upper Great Lakes mining that copper. We do know, for example, that the Upper Great Lakes area was the scene of a massive, complex, highly sophisticated copper mining operation. It was so complex that whoever these ancient people were, they dug a trench 5 miles long, were able to drill 60 feet through solid rock to remove this high-grade copper, and they were able to remove, while they were working up there, an astounding 500 million pounds of copper. Now, the Native American Indians, they used copper, it was known as float copper. They'd pick it up off the ground, and they'd make it into bracelets and so on. They didn't use much of it. Somebody was involved in making huge amounts of copper mining. Now, who could that have been? Well, if you look on the other side of the world, there were black kingdoms in West Africa, some of them known as Ghana and Mali. And if you study those cultures, and a lot's known about them because they lasted all the way to about 1400 AD when the Arabs came in. These people were great goldsmiths, great metallurgists, they use lots of copper. Now, what's interesting, folks, is in that area of Africa, there are not many great deposits of copper. Where did they get all this wonderful copper? It's also known that these Africans were tremendous seafarers. They had things known as power canoes, in which there were 60 men manning these canoes. Then, on the other side of the United States, in California, you had a black tribe. And I will show you a drawing that was made from life, a beautiful illustration from life, of a man decked out in a kind of an Indian getup, but he is definitely not an Indian. He is a black person. What are we to make of all this? These wonderful comparisons. First of all, there is no doubt whatsoever, regardless of what the establishment archaeologists say, that there were sizable numbers of black people in the Americas, and they were not slaves blown out overseas by mistake. They actually had come here for specific economic and cultural purposes. They raised kingdoms here. Let me just quote from my notes. I don't like to normally do that, but there's so much information here, my brain is so small, I can't get all this stuff down. One of the things that's interesting is that there was a 16th century historian. His name was Peter Martyr. This was a man who was with the Spanish expeditions to Mexico. He was an eyewitness to the Spanish conquest, and in his chronicles, he writes exactly what happened. And Peter Martyr, who accompanied Balboa, you know, the guy that was looking for the Fountain of Youth through Florida, they actually saw native blacks in Florida in the year 1513. There was also a priest by the name of Gregoria Garcia. He said that there were blacks on an island north of Colombia, again in the 16th century, and that the people in Panama referred to a Negro king or a black king who had just recently died. Garcia's associate, his name was Bartholomew Las Casas, he reported blacks in Florida. They even wrote down the names of these black tribes. The black tribes were known as the Jamassi of Florida, the Caribbees of St. Vincent, and the Chiruças of Brazil, and they were regarded as indigenous black people. In other words, they were there before the Spanish arrived. When the Spanish arrived, they just immediately enslaved them, those that survived the diseases that were introduced by the Spaniards. So very little of what is known about them beyond these reports exists today.
Out of sheer ignorance, again, racism, politics, or greed, this information has been suppressed and hidden by many. Although it is my theory that melanin-dominant people did not all travel from the continent of what is called Africa to the so-called Americas or anywhere else on the planet for trade or as slaves, but were the indigenous, as in the genes of us, that originally populated the planet from whom all others were born. Therefore, my theory is not that only were the so-called Olmecs the heads of state and leaders of the great Mayan civilizations, but they were the parents of the Maya.
Is it just all neat, or is it just exciting? I mean, for myself, enough, it's exciting enough. But history, and this history is very important because it's suppressed. It's not common currency. You go to the colleges or the universities, they will still tell you there's nobody here before Columbus. Why is that? Well, an archaeologist, as I mentioned to some of the people here before the talk, archaeologists don't make much money. They can make money if they teach. What they do, the archaeologist, he makes a name for himself in the field with the idea that eventually he'll go on to the university and he'll have tenure there. Well, then when you get to be a professor, what do? You write a textbook, right? And in the textbook, this is your authority, and these all your students and all your classes have to buy that textbook, right? And if it goes on and on, you've got this income. So then, and you, in this textbook, you make sure you don't offend any of the powers that be, to make sure you got your place there. So, sure, only Columbus was here. Then somebody comes along and says, look at all these black people that are there. Oh, no, that's impossible. No, couldn't possibly be there. He doesn't dare admit that because his textbook would be outdated. He'd have to get rid of his textbook. Nobody would buy his textbook anymore. His main source of revenue is over with. But it's a lie nonetheless. Too bad. It's a lie. Black people were disenthralled. They lost their slavery status. True. That's physically, that's over with. But if you raise generation upon generation in which you tell your people in America, your only heritage here is slavery. That's it. The white people, they had kings and queens and all that stuff, but we only came from... That is a form of psychological slavery still. It's a form of psychological bondage.
Como un árbol, como un árbol apretado contra el cielo.
And I tell you what, myself, I would rather be a physical slave than a psychological slave. I can rebel against physical slavery. Psychological slavery, that will really mess you up. So, it is vitally important that this information is made available. This is how you disenthrall yourself. This is how you find real respect when you say, okay, yes, slavery was part of our culture. It really happened, but that's not all. And we had people building civilizations here, not only before Columbus was born, but before Spain was born, we had great societies rising here. Then you develop a real sense of self-respect and real connectedness with the land. Now, why is it important to me? That's because it's part of my heritage, too. I'm an American, too. And these people that are suppressing this thing about the blacks are also suppressing the thing about Asians being here. And there were definitely Asians that came here, and Vikings and everything else. This is America, apparently, was a melting pot long before the Statue of Liberty came around. The other lesson to be learned from it, and this is vital. Look what happened when the Spaniards came here. They exterminated everybody. They enslaved everybody. They coughed on everybody and gave everybody diseases, wiped everybody out. That's the kind of heritage that they did. All these previous great civilizations, we don't know anything about them because they scrubbed them clean. And we're just picking up the pieces now. And it was hardly any better when the Anglo-Saxons came to North America, because when they came here and they saw this beautiful country, do you think they said, oh, look how pretty the trees are in the valley? Well, that might have figured it out. You know what? Look, I can make a profit out of that. I'm going to make money off of that. And so they cleared the trees, they cleared the Indians, everything else, just for the idea of profit. And they wiped everything out. The difference is that when the Africans came, and others too, to the Americas, they didn't come with that attitude. Let me give you an example. There's a guy whose name, can't remember, I have to look it up. Abu Bakari of Mali in the year 1300 A.D. Abu Bakari was this black king. And we know, this is not speculative, folks. This is stuff that is chronicled by the Arabs, not by blacks, by Arabs who visited. In the year 1300 A.D., he amassed a fleet of 400 ships. You talk about Columbus with his three ships. This guy has 400, a fleet. And he's going across to the Americas. And you know what he loaded up his ships with? Gold, iron, and textiles, and feathers. No weapons. He didn't set out to conquer anybody. He went out to trade. He went over there to this rich land to set up trade. And that appears what really happened. These different groups came over not to take it. There might have been conflicts, I'm sure. But the main thrust of all these things was to set up trade in a mutual bargaining system. And that's what created the Olmec civilization. Because Olmec civilization, I don't mean to say it's totally black, that it was something that was created only for black people. No, the leadership was black. And they used and they cooperated with the native people to create an indigenous civilization. You see, this is the thing where our critics, the archaeologists, will say, oh, Olmec civilization has nothing to do with the blacks, because if that was the case, you'd have an African civilization that's transported into America. And that's not what the Olmecs are. But we're not saying that, see. The Olmec civilization is where you brought black expertise, black mineralogy, and so on, worked with the local people and created something different. That was the Olmec civilization. So that is the thing to realize, that there is a spirit of cooperation. It's through respect, and we have a historical precedent for that now, see. And I think that leads to lessons for the future. They didn't abuse the environment. They created a great civilization that lasted for a long time.
The term Olmec was first used by archaeologists, since the giant stoneheads with the features of West African Negritic people were found in a part of Mexico with an abundance of rubber trees. The Maya word for rubber was Oli, and so the name Olmec was used to label the Africoid Negritic people represented in the faces of the stoneheads and found on hundreds of terracotta figurines throughout the region. Yet, due to the scientific work done by the decipherers and the linguists, it has been found out that the ancient black of Mexico, known as Olmecs, called themselves the She People. Apart from the giant stone heads of basalt, hundreds of terracotta figurines, and heads of people of Negritic, African racial features have also been found over the past 100 years in Mexico and other parts of Mesoamerica, as well as the ancient black-owned lands of the southern U.S., Washita proper, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and South America's St. Augustine, or Augustine, and culture in the nation of Colombia, Costa Rica, and Brazil, the Louisiana Purchase, lands, the southeastern kingdom of the Black Yamasee, and other places including Haiti. Now that we have established the origins of this civilization and our legacy here, let's explore what our ancestors have left here for us and why. What is the meaning of all this symbolism in art? Throughout the temple walls, you will see symbols that constitute a hieroglyphic language used by our galactic ancestors to communicate to us as well as the unseen world and awaken energies within us. The figure geometry you see on those temple walls should not be taken lightly. Those glyphs have mystical, hidden meanings that have been decoded and translated into a form that we can understand. Some take the form of animals that are called totems. The study of animal totems is essential for understanding how the spiritual realm is manifesting within your natural life. Ancient cultures use animal totems and their images to learn about themselves and the invisible world. Ancient priests and priestesses use animal totems to assist them in coming face to face with the spirit world. They became symbols of a specific kind of energy that, when awakened and honored, will be released into their lives. One such decoder that you hear very little about in all the documentaries you may see or you may observe or you watch all the different ways they express the history of the Maya.
Thank you for listening to the Jewel Network. For our complete broadcast schedule, additional information, And to purchase products, please visit our website at www.thejewelnetwork.net. If you'd like to reach us, please send an email to info@thejewelnetwork.net.